We're here, showed up tonight. We appreciate you being here. Got a very good message, I think, planned tonight, talking about peace forever. Wouldn't that be great to have peace forever? Well, we can because of Jesus. We can walk and have peace forever, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm excited to share this message. If you're watching on Facebook or watch this later, we welcome you tonight as well. Tuning in from wherever you're at tonight, and we hope this message will be a blessing to you. We want to open up in prayer tonight, as always, and want to continue to pray for Brother Tony's sister, who had to be put back on a ventilator this morning and just not doing good. So we want to definitely lift Tony's sister up in prayer tonight. Anyone else got a spoken request? Brenda? Yeah, we've... I've seen several too this week. It's passed, and it is really sad. It really is. People losing their loved ones. Okay, test your mic. Make sure it's okay.
I didn't have it on.
Okay.
Continued prayers for Connor, please.
Yeah, Melanie's little nephew. He needs a touch. That's for sure. Anyone else tonight? Yes, we're actually, I'm glad you said that, Roger. God put on my heart tonight over here before service that we're going to have a corporate prayer Sunday for what happened Tuesday. We have a corporate prayer as a church body and pray for the hand of God to be on everything that happens and for His will to be done. We all have the way we feel and what we would like to see, but we want to pray that God's will is done Tuesday. And we will pray for that and pray for our country that... I mean, I just, you know, as we said Sunday, Jesus is Lord, right? He's King. And no political position ever changes that. And no elected official or candidate replaces who He is. And that's who I trust. I'm still under God, and that's who I trust. But we all will pray for our country as a corporate body. We're going to say a special prayer Sunday morning for next week's election. Yes, Marjorie? Yes. Another hurricane. Is it Cat 2 or 3? 2. Category 2 hitting Louisiana, I think, again. Hit Louisiana. And I tell you, that state's been that's like the fifth or sixth storm this year for Louisiana. It's been crazy. So we definitely want to pray for those folks. They've been through a lot. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, as we enter your presence, we lift up Tony's sister before you. You see where she's at and what she needs. And God, we know you're more than enough. And we pray for your hand to be upon her where she lies, God, and that even through her maybe unconscious state right now, she's able to somehow feel your spirit and feel your presence and not be afraid and know you're there with her. She's not alone. God, we do pray for Brenda's request, the family members that she's lost, that she loves. We pray for comfort and peace for these families. And Lord, we do pray for our country, and we'll pray more on that Sunday that your will be done, God, in what you want done. We know the power to be or ordained by you. The Bible is clear on that. And God, we do want your will to be done. We pray you bless this service tonight and the word. And let it be an encouragement, and let it bring hope, and let it bring peace, and let it bring strength to those that hear it. We thank you and praise you for being Lord and Savior and King, and nothing ever, ever changes that. And we're so thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Me and Mel's going to do this song. This is, of course, Peace Speaker. It goes by Message Tonight, Peace Forever. Y'all know this song. And we're going to kind of do this song together. So aren't you glad you know the Peace Speaker tonight? You know him by name, right? You know the one that can calm your storm. You know the one that can make things better. You know the one that can make things different. And I'm thankful for that. So you need the words. Okay. Okay, go ahead, Brandon. If you're watching on Facebook, now or later, once you hear the words this Sunday, let's see what justified means. Justified means to be declared righteous by God. Think about that. How many times have we lived our lives as a Christian feeling so unworthy? And does God even know us or love us or hear us? Are we really right with God? We're going to clear all of that up tonight, or start clearing it up tonight's message in Romans 5, talking about you can have peace forever because you've been justified. You've been declared righteous by God, not by a preacher, not by a church, not by a denomination, not by another person, not by another Christian, but you've been declared righteous by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And what that really means for our lives to be declared righteous. Let's get into this. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith. Think about this. We'll break this down sometimes as we go along this message. It says that we are declared righteous, that we're in right standing with God. How much preaching have we heard about this? All we hear about is how, you know, far away from God we are. The blood brought us near to God. The blood cleared the picture. The blood settled the account. The blood made things right. I'm declared righteous through faith in what Jesus did for me. And I now have a right relationship with him. It doesn't mean I don't draw closer to him in my prayer life and talking with him and wanting to live according to his word and do things according to his ways. We do those things. But sometimes we mistaken our good deeds for our right standing with God. And they're two different things completely. Our good deeds have nothing to do with our position in God. Our good deeds are a result of our position with God. And there's a big difference. As a child of God, you want to honor your father. As a child of God, you want to honor him with the way you live, the way you talk, the things you do. It's not about gaining a new position. It's about understanding the position that you are in and what he did for you. It was love that saved you, his love that forgave you completely. It is by that right standing through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There has not been peace on the earth, I guess, since the fall of man. When brother slew brother, right? When Cain slew his own brother, we see an act of violence. We see an act of hate. We see an act of non-peace. And throughout every generation, throughout the Bible history, how many nations fought against each other? How many nations rose up against each other? In the world we've lived, if you're 7 years old or you're 20 years old, we've all been here to know there are countries that have fought each other. We have seen World War I, World War II. We have seen the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the Gulf War. We've seen Middle Eastern nations fight against other nations. We have seen war after war, and people want peace. Every Miss America says what? I want world peace. If you had a size zero, you wouldn't be on the stage to begin with. And now you want world peace. I want world peace. Well, we're not going to have world peace in this state. But we can have, as a Christian, peace with God in any state. No matter what happens. No matter what happens next week in this election. No matter what happens. And we already know, naturally speaking, without the hand of God moving in a supernatural way, we understand that we could see violence next week or weeks to come. We could see a lot of disruption. We could see a lot of hate. We could see a lot of things that are not good happen in this country. But for us as Christians, we're passing through this world. We're here. But this is not our home. And this is not where our relationship is at. And this is not where our covenant is at. See, my covenant is not with the political party. My covenant's not even with my parents or my wife in the sense of my eternal covenant. My covenant is with Christ. My covenant is with the Lamb of God. My covenant is with Jesus. And that covenant cannot be broken through elections or through disease or through famine or through war. I have peace through it all. No matter what storm cloud blows my way, I've got peace because of my position in Christ. He tells me I'm right standing with God. Man, if I'm right standing with God, whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? Nothing, nothing at all. If my relationship with God is right, there is nothing I should fear. No matter what comes my way, because God has me covered. God has his hand upon me. God has my steps ordered. God has my soul secure. God has my future sealed. God has me because of my position in Christ. We have been acquitted and declared righteous, and we now are at peace with God. More, it's not only we're at peace with God, God's at peace with us. See, this peace had nothing to do with us. The peace we have through Jesus is a peace that he gave us by going to the cross, which we'll get into a little bit later. Talk about what he really did. Verse 2, through him we have our access. This means entrance, introduction. We have now an entryway by faith into this grace. Before the blood of Jesus was spilt, man could not touch the throne of God. We read Old Testament history, right, where only the high priest could go in, only him, one time a year, go behind that second curtain, that second veil, and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And he had to do everything right. He had to have the showbread had to be right. The candles had to be lit. He had to do the order of thing in perfect, reverent order. And he went in once a year and sprinkled blood for the sins of the people. But now, because of Jesus, we have access to his throne. We have an entryway to touch him. You don't have to go to a preacher or a denomination or confess to a priest. You go to the high priest yourself, and you talk to Jesus, and you go behind that closed door, and he made available way for us to go in. Remember when Jesus gave up the ghost at Calvary and he died? The veil for the temple said rent from the top down to the bottom, giving access. He's letting the world know, no longer does the sin that you have separate you from me, but I have now declared you righteous, and the sin no longer stands in the way of our relationship. That's why the curtain tore in half. Jesus saying, now come on in. Now there's no separation. Now there's unity between me and you. I have now made peace with my people forever, no matter what happens on this earth. We search for peace on the earth instead of walking in the peace that we have in the kingdom. We try so hard. If you Google different things about how to have peace and relax, it gives you all these things, right? No TV in the bedroom. No lights in the bedroom. You know, turn on soft music and light some candles and, you know, don't do any work. Don't bring a laptop in there, you know, and you know, go find a stream somewhere in the mountains and sit there and just be quiet and do some yoga and do some exercise and, you know, all the stuff that tells us how we're supposed to have peace. But in this world, we really never have true peace. Because you know what? I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a pastor. I'm an employee and a worker. So I've got roles that every day of my life create some kind of responsibility, some kind of stress or anxiety or just responsibility. I mean, I'm not just in this, none of us are in this carefree world where nothing affects our lives. We don't live there. But in Christ, I can take this to the bank, that no matter what fear-mongering tries to make itself known to me through people or through media, through whatever, I'm not going to fear what they tell me because I already know what Jesus has told me. I'm not going to worry about what may come. I already know what's going to come. It doesn't matter about the future here. It matters that I know what my future is here, that I'm in the right position with God so I can have peace forever. Pandemic? No pandemic. Economy crash? No economy crash. Sickness or healing? I can walk in the peace of my Savior knowing there's nothing that can derail that. Nothing that can take that away. There's nothing that can erase that. There's nothing that can rob me of that if I know and keep my position in Christ and realize who I am in him and who he is to me. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. And the peace I'm talking about is not what happens here. It's what happened in here. All this stuff's going to pass away. We see people every day dying off this earth, and we know this all passes away, but this does not. Let us rejoice and exalt our hope of experience and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, let us be full of joy when? Now. Ain't that what it says? Let us be full of joy now. Man, as Christians, we should not be walking around like we just lost our best friend. I many times use the example of Droopy the dog, the old cartoon Droopy. You know, you go around, I'm so happy. Never smiled right, I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I'm about to jump up and down. That's how we are sometimes as Christians.
We can experience joy now because guess what? My sins have been washed away. The future judgment against me has been satisfied in the paying of the price of our Savior's body up on the cross. And so I don't have to worry about what I'm walking into. I've already walked out of that because the peace that God gave me at the cross. I'm no longer in darkness. Paul says, I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness, or from darkness to the kingdom of the dear Son. I've been translated already. Paul was already walking in that joy of knowing where he was going. No matter what he had done in the past, didn't matter. Jesus forgave him. He was a new creation in Christ. Everything now is ahead of him. Nothing behind him. It's all ahead of him. And that's all he was focused on. It's the crown of glory waiting on him. So he rejoiced in his afflictions. He rejoiced in his persecutions. He rejoiced in his trials, tribulations, because he knew none of those things could take away what Christ had promised him. Couldn't take it away. We have a promise in the Word of God that no man can take away. No man can rob. We can have peace forever. Joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles. Let us rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance or fortitude develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. In a nutshell, that's a lot of words right there. Paul is saying, as we go through trials and tribulations, it teaches us patience, right? Because we're always talking about wait on God, trust in God, wait on God, trust in God. So we wait on God, we trust in God, and then something happens. God shows up. He shows up in some kind of way. And as God shows up, then our faith is encouraged to recognize, okay, God, through my trial and through my tribulation, you brought a blessing out of this. Through what I went through, I see why I did now, and I see where I am now. You brought me through that to get me to here, and I saw you show up, and I saw you give me victory, and I saw you conquer the storm. You gave me peace when I shouldn't have had peace. You gave me hope when I shouldn't have had hope. You restored my joy. You restored my strength. You gave me direction. It's through those trials and tribulations as we wait on God, we see God's hand move, and when it moves, that gives us something to shout about. Thank you, Lord, that you moved. Thank you, Lord, that you rolled back the Red Sea for me. Thank you, Lord, that you touched my body. You touched my mind. You touched my soul. You moved the situation. Thank you, God. You get the glory. We have a testimony as we come through tribulations. We have a testimony as we come through trials. Because we look back and like, man, the trial didn't swallow me. The trial didn't destroy me. The trial didn't kill me. That song, right? What makes you? What don't kill you makes you stronger. What kills you makes you stronger, stronger. None of that song. How true is that? What don't kill you makes you stronger. And we're going to go through trials and tribulations, but all of that worketh a good thing for us as we continue. You know what else trials, tribulations does? It teaches us to depend on God. And that's part of the problem. If all of us was millionaires, as multimillionaires, and had no issues with money, and you know, many times would we depend on God? I mean, some do, but think about this. It's during the hardships of our life. It's in the struggles. You know, I remember that Pink Panther episode where he was so hungry, his stomach was growling. He's in that little house, and he had like one little bean or something in a can on a table, and the ant stole it from him, or a mouse stole it from him. He was so hungry, had one little bean. He needed provision. Your life may be down to one little bean. You're like, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Don't know how the answer is going to come. I don't know how many more days I can face what I'm facing or go through what I'm going through. But I want to encourage you, because of your position with your Father, you have a Father who is still fighting for you, who is still watching over you, who is still leading you and guiding you. As you let him do that, he will lead and guide you. Trust him. And as you trust him, you will see him show up. And when he shows up, your faith will be encouraged to realize the salvation of the Lord has showed up again in my life. Such hope never disappoints. Such hope never disappoints. Now, I know none of y'all do this in here tonight. I know none of y'all do this. But the 7-Eleven, you're scratching off your lottery tickets. Your hopes in getting those matching numbers. Man, I go to that 7-Eleven, sometimes I pop in there on Sunday morning before church, I'll stop and get me a coffee, and I'll go in there, and you got people that'll get them cars, and they're right there at the counter
before he can get outside. They're at the counter scratching them off. Spent $20 on a card. And oh, I won $10. But you spent 20. Yay. So you lost 10. Scratching them cards. Your hope's like, oh, I hope I get it. Hope I get it. Right. Hope I get that next stimulus check they're talking about. I hope. If our hope's in those things, then our hope is determined by those things. But if our hope is in Jesus, then we're never disappointed. Because my God don't never let me down. My God don't never forsake me. My God don't never not show up. Now, that's terrible English. It's just the way it's said. My God don't never not show up. He is faithful. He is everlasting. He is a present help in trouble all the time, 24/7. We talked last Wednesday that our God does not sleep, nor does he slumber. My God is at attention. My God is awake. My God is alert. My God is on time. My God is understanding of what I'm going through right now. And my hope's in that. My hope is in Jesus making a way for me. My hope is in Jesus paying my bills. My hope is in Jesus in my marriage, with my children, in this church. My hope is Jesus in my health and my well-being. My hope is in Jesus everywhere that I go and everything that I do. And when my hope's in him, I'm never disappointed, because what Jesus has done, he done one time forevermore. It's the end of the story, in the book. Can't nothing change it or erase it or derail it. It is what it is, church. He has finished the work. And my hope's in that finished work of Christ. No matter what I see around me in this world, no matter the fear that I see, no matter the anger that I see, no matter the darkness and hate that I see, no matter the rebellion that I see, my hope is not in that. See, my hope is not in next Tuesday night what happens. My hope is already in the one whom I serve. So that's why I'm not worried. I do my part, and I trust God with the rest. That's what we do. We do our part, and we trust God with the rest. My hope is not in next week. My hope is not in 2021. My hope is in the Lord God of 2021. My hope is in the one who is, who was, who is, and who always will be. My hope is in him. All of my hope, the song says, is in Jesus. All of my hope is in Jesus, no matter what. So trust him. That hope will never let you down. Your hope in the flesh will let you down many times, but hoping in God, the hope you have in Christ, never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time, Christ died for, in behalf of, the ungodly. One reason that we are rebellious is because there are so many rules. And we don't like rules. What's the old saying? Rules are meant to be what? Broken. They are. We don't like rules. Some of you in here may not wear your seatbelt because you don't think the government should tell you to wear your seatbelt. I know many people don't wear their seatbelts. They say, you know what? That's my car. That's my right. I ain't wearing my seatbelt. That's your right. I mean, it's the law, but do what you go do, right? We don't like rules. Our young people, think about this. When they're about, 12, 13, start hitting them teen years, and they start, you start worrying about them, all things they're going to see and experience. As parents, if you're a good parent, we try to give them rules, right? Things to avoid in their life. Sometimes we can be too extreme with that to the point of, well, what can I do, right? We teach our children, if you're good people, look, stay away from the party scene, stay away from the alcohol and the drugs, don't start smoking cigarettes, watch your language, watch who you hang out with, watch your friends, when you're in a car driving, be responsible, don't text and drive, don't be, have more people in your car than you should, don't speed. All these things we try to tell our kids, we give them all of these rules. Before Christ came, there was something called the law, and the law had to be met 100% in order to see God. All men, the Bible says in Romans, all fell short of the glory of God. All. There was nobody able to keep those laws, nobody able to obey all those things. And so what was the penalty for that? Death and judgment. But thanks be to Jesus, the sentence of judgment has been lifted because Jesus, on our behalf, Jesus was a substitute for us to absolve all the wrath that we deserved. Jesus took all that punishment and fulfilled in our place where we should have been judged. the judgment was placed upon him for us. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no more condemnation or judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. This is why we can have peace in a very chaotic world. We can have peace no matter what happens next week or next year. We can have peace. You know, you watch the news, you watch the newspapers. I mean, it's terrible. The whole world's going back up. It's a pandemic again. It's on and on and on and on and on and on. And if our hope and our peace is in what we're seeing happening everywhere else, instead of seeing what's happened already in here, then we live a life of broken fear, brokenness and fear. But when we know Jesus and we know the plan and we know who's in control and we know who our Lord is, I want you to think about this. We're dealing with one virus, okay? One virus is all we're dealing with. And I say only because of this. The children of Israel in Egypt, they had 10 plagues they dealt with, didn't they? 10 different plagues hit this nation. And God took care of the children, his children. He watched over them. And the last one, the death angel, when it came by to kill the firstborn, when it saw the blood on the doorpost, it had to pass on by. And it could not pass by the blood. That was a token of what was to come. A covenant between God and man. And now because the blood of Jesus has been spilt for all of us, then we can take assurance that the blood is on the door of our heart. And when the death angel, when dark times, when dark seasons, when fear and all this stuff begin to come around, we say, no, not here. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. In the name of Jesus, I take you to leave. In the name of Jesus, I'm covered by him. And I will not fear. And I will not focus on that. And I will not just look at everything happening bad. But I will rejoice in my salvation. I will rejoice in my covenant with God. I will rejoice in who I am with him. I will rejoice in the position that he's father and I'm child, as Bill talked about last Sunday, that he's my father and I'm his child. And what Bill said Sunday was so amazing. I mean, it sounds simple, but think about this. Our Father, right? And that Lord's Prayer starts out, our Father, which are in heaven, our Father. Our Father establishes his position. He's our Father. That's his position. And that doesn't change. When we say that, our Father, as Bill said Sunday, and this is his words, not mine, paraphrasing. When we say our Father, we are acknowledging his authority over our lives. We're acknowledging his authority over our lives. Our Father, which art in heaven. Lord, I'm surrendering to you. I'm not surrendering to what I'm hearing or what I'm seeing. I'm not surrendering to the flavor of the day, because I'm going to tell you something. There's always something coming down the pike, right? There's always the next thing that's coming down the pike. The next fear, the next thing, the next whatever. We're going to go through stuff. We always have and we always will. So either we can learn to walk in the power and peace of our Savior, or we can live our lives in a cave afraid of everything that moves. I choose to follow the King. I choose to say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Not mine, not theirs, but yours. You're the authority and you're the power. And God, you changed everything when you died on the cross for me. You changed my whole future and you changed my present position. In our weakness, he died for the ungodly. Now, it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life for an upright man, though perhaps for a noble and lovable and generous benefactor, someone might even dare to die. But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. I want you to picture this. Picture a time in your life, in your ugliest moments. The ugliest time of your life, a dark place, something where you were just ugly. It's a time of life you pray to God and nobody will walk up on you and see you doing, hear you saying. In that moment, we've had those moments. God saw humanity and saw those moments we would have. And yet in his love for us, I didn't do a thing to persuade him to die for me. I didn't do a thing to earn, oh, James is worthy of my blood. No, I didn't do any of that. It wasn't anything to do with anything I did. In the ugliest, darkest moments of my life, all of us were born with that sin. Jesus, at a point in time, went to that cross and gave himself up
and died for the ugly, for the rebellious, for the dirty-minded, for the darkness, for the wicked, for the evil heart, for the bad mind, for the dirty mouth, for the bad ways. Jesus gave up himself for a people that were absolutely rebellious. You know, the Bible also says this. We don't like this verse because it messes our ego up. This is where we got to be a little more humble. Bible says that there is none good, not one, except God. And there's people that don't like that verse. I've read that verse before on a Sunday, and I could tell people are comfortable with that verse. I don't know why. There's none good, church. Any one of us could be provoked to evil. Any one of us in here tonight, any of you watching, could be provoked to doing something bad, dirty, mean, or nasty. Any one of us can flip a switch. You may be the most mild person and meek person, but every one of you's got a button. Tony Cook's got a button. He don't say much in church, but I bet you's got a button. And I bet when that button's mashed, old Tony can take that cane and make your life a misery. Beat you like a beefsteak. You ever been in a car, you ever been on a highway and somebody cuts you off and you do something you shouldn't do? You react out of what? Anger. Right? I felt anger rise in me tonight, but I was good and I was so calm. I was on the way to church several hours ago this evening, and I get on the interstate, and I'm getting over. Ramp's coming off, so I get over in the passing lane, let them over. And the truck's way behind me, and I got over. I looked, he's way behind me, but as I started getting over, let the ramp over, he sped up. Like, dude, why are you speeding up on me? I'm letting them over. You're way back there, and you speed up when you see me getting over. And so when he went by, I didn't do something too bad. I gave him a look. Like, I just kind of went, that's all I did. Wasn't very Christ-like. But I'm like, man, really? How old are you? I mean, we're playing games. You see me trying to get over to help these people. We all are evil by nature. Why do you think, and I know there's always been sin. We've talked about this many times through the years. You know, we've always, every season's had sins. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, really? That wasn't just yesterday, right? That wasn't the 60s or 70s or 80s. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah, thousands of years ago. And they were evil and wicked, and you had homosexuality and women with women, men with men, drunkenness, vile things happening in that city to the point God destroyed it. We've always had sin through every generation. We've always had evil. And we see today's generation of the moral code for many. There's not a moral compass anymore. It's do what I want to do. It's do what I want to feel. You know why people do what they feel? Because what they feel is evil and sin. That's what they react to. You teach your children how to behave. You don't teach them how to misbehave. You have to teach them how to do things right, not do things wrong. They do that all by their big bad self. But to teach them to do right is a whole different thing. You've got to teach them right from wrong. We, by nature, are evil in our hearts, and yet Jesus gave his life for that. And then there's times we won't even forgive each other for something so minor. Think about the love Christ has for us. Verse 9, therefore, since we are now, look what it says. This ain't a future tense, it's a present tense. Since we are now justified, we're acquitted, we're made righteous, we're brought into a right relationship with God by Christ's blood. I'm brought into a right relationship with God. People all the time make this so hard. Pastor, how do I get right with God? I want to be right with God. Look, it really is simple. It is you surrendering your life to what he has done. It's you surrendering your life. Do you believe that God did what he said that he did? And are you willing to surrender to that and accept that payment was made for you as well? If someone says yes, then you have accepted that by faith, that your sins have been covered by the blood, and your relationship now has been restored in a right position with God. Faith in Christ. Faith in what he's done. Faith in the blood of Jesus. You know how forgiveness was given back in the old covenant before Jesus came? They would bring sacrifices. They'd bring animals to the altar. They'd bring a ram, a goat, a dove, whatever they could afford, they would bring. And they would bring this animal. They would slaughter this animal, kill it. The priest then would, well, before he killed it, the priest would lay his hand on the head of the animal, and he would pray that all the sins of the people be put upon this animal. Then they would kill and burn the animal, thus signifying the sins of the people had been burned up and gone. Well, Jesus became the Lamb of God, the final Lamb of God, that all of the wrath, all the judgment that we should have received was poured upon him. He became a substitute for us. Should have been us, but it wasn't. It was him. And because of that blood being poured out, because of all the judgment being on this sacrifice, it was forevermore removed off of our lives. And now I have a right relationship with God, and I have peace. God's at peace with me because of what he did. He's at peace with me. So many times we don't walk in peace because we're too focused on what's happening around us instead of what's already happened to us. The story of Jesus dying on the cross is much more than a Sunday school lesson, much more than an Easter story. It's much more than just a good feel-good message. It is our covenant. It is our heritage. Without the blood of Jesus being spilt, none of this would matter. Without the blood of Jesus being spilt, we'd still be in our sins. Without the blood of Jesus being spilt, we would still be standing in the judgment of God. But because of that, we have been acquitted. We all know what acquitted means. We learned that in the O.J. Simpson trial back in the 90s, right? If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. What do you mean you must acquit? You must say, I'm not guilty. Jesus is saying to us, his children, tonight, yes, I know we still sin. I get that. I know we still fail God. I know we still don't walk in everything we know to walk in, and we let the flesh rule so many times. But Jesus looks at us, his children, and says, you are not guilty. You are innocent because of my covering. You've been acquitted of what you are destined to receive. You've been justified and made righteous by my hand. That's a very it's a very good place to be, and a very awing place to be. Like, man, God, you did that for me? See, there's no love like the love of God. That song, Peacemaker, no power like this friend. There's no power like what he did. Nothing can change our life like he did. Nothing can change our destiny like he did. We can go to the highest mountains, talk to all the different spiritual leaders, and we can go to, you know, well, he's not alive anymore, the Billy Grahams of the world. We can go to the monks in India. We can go to wherever and try to find this great revelation of how to have peace and how to have this. Peace has been made through Calvary. Peace has been made through the cross. If you're not walking that peace, it's because you're not receiving the price he paid for you. I don't always walk the part or look the part or talk the part, but I'm still his child and he's still my father. His position doesn't change, and I'm thankful for that. Verse 9. We are acquitted, made righteous, brought to a right relationship with God by Christ's blood. How much more certain is it that we shall be saved by him from the indignation and wrath of God? Because of what Jesus did, how much more can we now expect to be saved from the wrath that was due us? So many folks live their whole lives. Standing in fear of what might come. It's not that we don't fear God. Of course we fear God in a reverent, loving, God, there's no one higher than you kind of fear. We don't hide behind a bush and shake and worry about seeing God's face, not as Christians. But we do honor him and lift him above all, and we put him above every issue in our life, every person, every storm, every battle. He is supreme. We love him when we love our kids. We should. Love him when we love our wife or husband. We should. Love him when we love our mom and dad, brothers and sisters, friends. We love him first above it all. God, I fear you. Let's put it this way. What's more fearful to you? To be in the hands, now what I mean by this, to be in the hands of what God can do to you, or be in the hands of what our government can do to you? Think about that.
Lord, I fear you. I honor you. No matter what they do, they lock Paul up in a prison cell, and they end up executing him for the cause of Christ. I mean, he was martyred. He was beaten more than once, striped across his back, and he was put in prison more than once. And I mean, Paul and I have a very good popular life with people. Paul had a miserable life in the flesh, but he preached the gospel. And at the end, in that prison cell in 2 Timothy, he says, I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. Now the departure is at hand, and now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Paul understood his end result. Paul understood his hope was not in them letting him out of prison. His hope wasn't in, I hope they don't execute me now. His hope wasn't in, I hope I live. His hope was in what Christ had waiting on him when he left the earth. That was where his hope was. So no matter what happens in this earth, and that's why church as Christians, the church of the living God, cannot walk around paralyzed by what's happening out here. We are the army of the Lord. We are the people of God. We are the light of the world. We are more than conquerors. We have been reconciled back to Christ. We are the children of the Most High King. We are children of the Lord. We are God's seed and heritage. We are his royal priesthood in this earth. We have the blood on us everywhere we go, every step we take, every word we utter, every thought we think. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. So stand and rise and walk and work and serve in the capacity as a child of God, knowing your position in the kingdom. He's God, and I'm his child, and he's got this. If there's any time for faith, it's now. If there's any season for faith, church, it's now. In January of 2020, faith didn't mean a whole lot like it does October 2020. We need faith now to rise up and to keep trusting God through whatever we hear, what's around the next corner. God, you're my provider. God, you're my protector. God, you're my keeper. God, you're my healer. God, you're my provider. God, you're my everything. And that's what I trust. You're my counselor. You're my high priest. God, you're everything to me. You're everything. You're the great I am. And right now, we need God to be the I am in more than one way. And when we look to him and trust him, he becomes what we need him to be. When we know our position and we know his position, he's in charge. He's in control. When I am totally, we all have our things we like, right? The year the Panthers lost the Super Bowl to New England by that field goal, I didn't like that. It's a great game, one of the best Super Bowls ever. I did not like at all they lost. I was definitely pulling for the Panthers. I was very disappointed. I was a Redskins fan before that, for the Charlotte guy team. I was a big Redskins fan. Dad remembers that in the 80s. I used to watch them games with him, Super Bowls. And I remember when Marcus Allen ran that long touchdown in that Super Bowl against Washington, I cried. Yes, y'all, I cried like a big fat baby. I cried. You know why? Because I was so emotionally involved in the game. I don't even know those players at all. They ain't done nothing for me but broke my heart that day. Nothing. You remember that big run Marcus Allen had? Whew, I knew they blew them out that game. Blew them out. It was never even close. I was totally involved in that. And all my hope was in hail to the Redskins. My hope was in that. But they let me down. Disappointed me. Lost $30. No, I'm playing. Disappointed me. Let me down. The one that don't let you down is Jesus. Oh, the Bible says he stands closer than a brother, right? He will not let you down. So I'm totally at peace next week. No matter what happens, no matter who gets elected, no matter what all happens politically, I know and I trust in God. And you know what? It's not going to change whatsoever how I serve God, how I trust God. And it's sure not going to change how God takes care of me. It's not going to change that whatsoever. God is my God, and he don't never change. That'd be a good song to sing on election night or doing on an electoral map. He's a God of California, the God of Tennessee, the God of Michigan, the God of you and me. That'd be a good song to sing at night. They're covering the map. Oh, me. Let's wrap this up for tonight. I'm not done, but we'll come to a stopping point. For the wrath of God, verse 10. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. While we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. It is much more certain now that we are reconciled that we shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. I was an enemy with God, to God, because the sin separated me from his holiness. But I've been reconciled. I've been brought into a right relationship with him now through this. This is why people say, you know, there's more than one way to heaven. They say, you know, I'll find my own path. We're pretty much serving the same God. Da, 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 da. There's a big difference here. Big difference. If we do not acknowledge the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then nothing else matters. That is the difference. You know, people say, and if you do studies, Judaism and Islam is very similar in their teachings. Very similar. But neither one of them have Christ as the Savior. Neither one of them have Christ. They have Christ as a prophet, as a good man, as a miracle worker, as a prophet. But they don't have him as the Son of God in the flesh who died for their sins. That's the difference. So there is one path. There is one way. Receiving and accepting and believing that this faith, that this blood of Jesus was spilt for you, that he took your place to put you back in a right relationship with God. You take Jesus out of the equation, you have nothing. He is the cornerstone of everything. He's the difference maker. We want to stop there tonight. We'll pick this up in this chapter next Wednesday and finish this chapter out. We're talking about peace forever. We can have that peace forever because God is at peace with us because of what he did. To know your position. To know your position. You ever had someone you work with thought they were the boss and they weren't? They act like the boss. You had to talk to them and say, hey, can I talk to you a minute? You know you're not the boss, right? I know you act like it. But I got to put you back in your position, okay? You're not in the position to make that decision or that call, okay? There's a chain of command here. When we lose focus of our position, we lose our way. Stay focused on your position that God has made peace with me through Calvary. And no longer do I have to worry about the future wrath that's going to come upon me. Because the blood has forgiven me and put as far as the east is from the west, white me, white, clean, white as snow, crimson red, white as snow. Peace forever. Have that peace. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we come to the end of this service, we just I pray this word gets into our hearts, the ones that will watch this maybe later, the ones that are watching it now, that they will recognize and acknowledge, God, that you paid the price for them, that you loved them while the way they were, God, that you went to the cross 2,000 years ago knowing how we would be, how they would be as they were born and how they would grow. And yet, God, you shed that blood to make peace again with your people. Thank you that we can have peace. No matter what happens, we have peace. No matter what we see, we have peace. We can have peace forever, God, not based on this world, but based on your kingdom. We give you honor and praise, God, for being the one that changed our destiny and changed our future. And we will rejoice in that and celebrate your goodness every single day, in Jesus' name, amen.